We have been focusing on what's called the prologue of the Gospel of John. And we're spending all of the Advent season in the first several verses of John's Gospel. And when we say John's Gospel, I want to remind you that what we're talking about is not that there's four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's one Gospel. It's the story of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus as Lord of the world. But there are four different tellings of that gospel story: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of the four gospels has different starting points. So Mark starts his gospel with the coming of John the Baptist. Matthew starts his gospel with the telling of the genealogy of Jesus back to Abraham. Luke starts his gospel by telling the story of the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. And John starts his gospel telling by taking us back to Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the one who comes. We're going to get to that. The Word became flesh next week, or 2 weeks from now. But what we discover is that Jesus is the Word. And the Word is God. The Word is not a set of concepts. The Word is not something written on pieces of paper. The Word is a person. And that Word comes to bring life and light to the world. And so the Word comes into the world, bringing life, not just biological life. Yes, biological life, but not just biological life. The life of God, Zoe life, eternal life, which is not just life that has to do with an extension of time. It has to do with the quality of life, because ultimately, only God is eternal. And whatever life we get from God comes from Him. It's a gift. And the Word brings light. So this morning, John talks about that life and that light. I mentioned that though we call this the prologue, it's really more like an overture, a piece of music, in which different themes are introduced. And so we've had the themes of light and life introduced. We've had the theme of the Word introduced. And now John introduces two more themes: truth and belief. Listen to John 1, 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, or witness to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him or receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Father, I ask that your Spirit would come now, same Spirit who inspired John to write these things so long ago, your Spirit would come and enliven us as we hear these words and seek to understand what you're saying to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. So after John explains that John the Baptist is not the light itself, but he comes to bear witness to the light, he turns his attention to these two themes of truth, or the Word could also mean reality, and belief. And a better way to understand that is not just belief, but trust. Because oftentimes in our day and age, we begin to think of belief as something that we give mental assent to. And in the Bible, belief means much more than giving mental assent to. If I say, I believe this chair will hold me up, that's giving mental assent. But when I sit in the chair, that's exhibiting the kind of trust that the Bible talks about. It's saying, I throw the weight of my life upon that chair. So when John talks about belief, he's talking about that kind of dynamic more than just mental assent. Before he gets to that, however, he talks about the Word being the real light, the true light. The real thing, the genuine article, is the way you want to talk about that. You know, we all heard Coke say it's the real thing. Well, that's what John is saying, is the light that is the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Word that's wrapped up, the truth that is wrapped up in Jesus, He is the real thing. He's the real light. Not just reflected light. Not even just glimpses of light. But He is the source of all light. He is the real thing. There are other lights in the world. That's what John is alluding to. There are other lights that we can get a glimpse of. We can follow other lights. There are other philosophies. There are other religions. There are other people that we can say they are light. But what John is saying is none of them are the real thing. The only one who is the real thing is Jesus. And that real thing comes into the world. He is not an ersatz light. Ersatz means a cheap imitation, substitute. And oftentimes, we follow cheap imitation substitutes for the real thing. So John says, the one who John is witnessing to, John the Baptist is witnessing to, is in fact the real thing. And that light is the light that enlightens everyone in the world, the entire world. So what that means is, all of the little glimpses of light, all the little specks of light that are out there, if they are true, if they are good, if there is anything wonderful about them, whether they come from one philosophy or another philosophy, or they come from one religion or another religion, it doesn't matter where they are, they don't encompass the light, but if it's true, they reflect the real light who is Jesus. And so we get glimpses of Jesus in all those different lights. But those different lights are not the real thing. The real thing is wrapped up in Jesus. And what he says is that this real light dissipates all the darkness that there is in doubt about who God really is. If there's one thing I've learned over the 35 years or so that I've been a pastor, is that people have confusing ideas about God. Even Christians have confusing ideas about God. And when John writes his gospel, he's writing it to say, I want you to understand the truth about God. And the truth about God is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. Jesus says it himself. If you want to know what the Father is like, look at me. I reveal the truth about God. And I dissipate all the doubt there is about God. And I dissipate all of the darkness of fear that exists in life. Because I bring light into the world. I dissipate the fear of death. I dissipate the fear of condemnation. I dissipate the captivity of disease. And I bring healing and wholeness into the world. I dissipate exclusivity. And I say, this is a light that is for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your screwed up ideas about God have been. I'm for you. I'm here for you. I come to bring life for you. no matter who you are. The question is, do we receive that light? Do we believe in that life? John is the ultimate realist. He recognizes the great tragedy that not everyone receives the light. Not everyone recognizes the light. Not everyone believes in the light. He came into his world, which was his world, because he created this world. He owns the world. He was like Walt Disney, the creator of all. And yet the world did not recognize him. The world did not receive him. Now, John is a master of words. And so when he talks about these kinds of issues, he's not just talking about the world in general. He is talking about the world in general and all of us that are a part of it. But he's also talking about a particular part of the world that he created, the people of Israel, his own peculiar people. He was born in a particular place at a particular point in time, not just as a concept, but as a real person, a Palestinian Jew of the first century. And he lived his life as a Palestinian Jew of the first century with all of the limitations that that implies. And he comes into the world, and the world does not recognize him, and his own people don't recognize him. It's a tragedy because Jesus is not only the source of light, he is the source of life. So that's what we're saying is that when people don't recognize him and people don't receive him and believe in him, what they're doing is they're rejecting the very source of life itself. That which gives us life. Biological life and eternal life. Cuts us off from the source of life itself. In the atmosphere of darkness, the light came, but some didn't see it. There is a saying that goes something like this: there are none so blind as those that will not see. In the story of Jesus, in terms of his life and ministry, the people who didn't get it, who didn't recognize him, the primary group of people, were not just Jews in general, but specifically the religious leaders of the day. And not only did they not recognize Jesus, they sought to kill Jesus. And it began with their belief that they did see, that they did have eyes. And Jesus didn't fit their category of what a righteous man would be, let alone Jesus did not fit their category of who God was. In their ideas, God is about condemning the sinner. And Jesus said, I did not come to condemn, but to save the world. In their minds, a woman caught in adultery needs to be blamed, needs to be brought before the court, put on the stand, convicted of sin. And in Jesus' economy, God says, through him, in him, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. In their minds, life was all about drawing lines and boxes, putting people in categories and say, you're in and you're out. In Jesus' mind, it was fling open the doors and let everyone come to the table. Jesus presents a different view of God, a different picture of God, a different understanding of God than those who could not see. Leslie Newbegin, missionary to India for 25 years and also to the poor in Britain, one of the key writers of missionary truth today in our generation said religion in its purest form is found to belong to the area of darkness, not those who are blind, but those who confidently say, "We see," are found to be in the realm of darkness. People like the Pharisees say, "We see," but in fact, they don't see and they don't recognize the true light that was coming into the world. And that happens at the very time when they say, "We are in the light." But John's message is also that rejection of the word is not the last word. He says to those who receive him, he gave the power to become children of God. To those who believed in his name. Again, think about the word believe. It's not just an intellectual assent. It's saying, I'm believing into Jesus in the way that I throw the weight of my life upon him completely. By trusting him completely. There's one thing that John consistently says throughout his telling of the gospel is that life is found by believing in Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. At the beginning of the church, the founding of the church, there were no doctrines, there were no dogmas, there was no universally accepted way of following Jesus, there was no organization, there was only one thing, one point of unity for the entire church, and that was found in Jesus himself, the Word made flesh. In his person, he himself was the ultimate criteria for what is true and good and righteous and holy and just. He was the only hope for the future. He was the only power that could transform the world. Not a set of doctrines, not a set of beliefs, not a set of rules and regulations, not a set of rituals. But he himself. And he alone had the power to transform the world. He was the person who broke into history. He was the last word. God himself. To believe in Jesus is to believe all of that. Either you accept the kingdom of God as Jesus understood, or you don't. You make up your own mind. Either you receive the light as he brought it, or you follow another light. Either you accept the life that he gives, or you try and find life in cisterns that you dig for yourselves. Either you believe in God, the God that Jesus reveals, or you don't. You make up your own God. Either you recognize him for who he is, or you don't. The faith that Jesus awakens in us is actually the faith that Jesus is God come in the flesh. We may not be able to articulate it the right way. We may not understand it. But faith in Jesus alone, is what Christmas is all about. It's all about God come to be with us. And if we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus and we recognize God in him. And we say no to the gods of our own making. Even if we don't understand it all, even if we can't articulate it. Christianity is not about the ability to articulate doctrines about God. It's all about throwing the weight of our life on Jesus. One of my favorite authors is a guy by the name of Scott McKnight. His most recent book is called The King Jesus Gospel. And I want to read a little section that he has toward the end of his book, in which he talks about this very thing that I've been talking about, but he does it in a different way. I would borrow imagery from the man from Northern Ireland, from Belfast, C.S. Lewis, from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. When we first meet the story of Aslan, we will find a few central themes about Aslan, which is what God, what John is doing in his gospel, a few central themes about Jesus. It's the story of Aslan, which is how Lewis told the story of Jesus. And then McKnight writes this, "Watch the lion roam. Watch the lion die on the stone table. Watch the stone table crack with new creation powers. Listen to the lion's roar. Trust the lion. Love the lion. Live for the lion." That's our gospel. It's the saving story of how Israel, now lived out by Jesus, who lived, died, was buried, was raised, exalted right to God's right hand, who is now roaring out the message that someday the kingdom will come in all its glorious fury. Watch Jesus roam. Watch Jesus die on a cross. Watch Jesus be raised from the dead with new creation powers. Listen to Jesus roar. Trust Jesus. Love Jesus. Live for Jesus. Light and life is yours. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would talk to us this morning. That you would invade our hearts with your light and life. That you would give us the grace to not only recognize you, but to receive you, to believe in you, to throw the weight of our life upon you. That we might live for you. That we might love you. That we might trust you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.